Radio Free Cybertron. Today's date is January 20th, 2010. I am Brian Kilby, and with me I have the usual crew, JD, XV, John DeLuna, Rob Springer, and also this week I have here Ender. Hey, Ender, how's it going?
Hey, broadcasting live from the T-Formers podcast refugee camp.
Man,
we'll send rations.
Yeah, did they feed you there?
No, I got those little like hockey puck things that you can't tell from the landmines.
Oh god. So, guys,
butter or vanilla ones?
It's vanilla, chocolate, and death.
You know, I saw that the Haitians were being delivered MREs by our military, which I think is awesome. But I've never had an MRE. How easy are those to eat? Does anyone have any idea?
I've had plenty. They're tasty. It's like Denty Moore dinners and a ball of water and like some crackers.
Oh, so it's not like complicated. You don't need like a degree like in physics to figure out how to eat it.
I think it depends.
Well, how much do the soldiers eat then?
I think it's
extensive training.
All respect to our nation's armed forces, but you know.
I don't know what their IQs are, but they can field strip rifles. I imagine they can get into a can of sardines.
That's true.
Yeah, it's like convenience food. I think the most weird ones I saw were like where there's like a bag of soup, and the minute you opened it up, it cooked itself.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, awesome.
Yep. Those things,
can't we get those?
You can at the surplus store.
Dropping these things in Haiti, and I got to put my Denty Moore in the microwave? Come on, this is America.
That's true. Yeah,
you don't want to open up that bag in a small room, though. It smells like straight up farts.
Yeah. Okay, so guys, how's it going this week? Everything's good?
Yeah, well, it was fantastic. Going real good till somebody started talking about these bowls of soup that heat themselves and
smell like
now
farts.
My whole world is just like shattered.
Yeah, didn't like Carrot Top invent those?
Carrot Top invented steroids. My wife didn't believe me when I told her that he was ripped, and he's a freak of nature. It's not even funny.
He's been ripped for 10 years.
Yeah.
He's a freak of nature without being all muscular.
Yeah.
True.
Like the freak of nature sitting on top of another freak of nature.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a genetic freak of nature now. Yeah.
So lots of stuff going on this week. We might as well just go ahead and jump into the news. Big news. Well, not the biggest news, but the first thing I have written down because I can't break order. Japanese Transformers Animated gets an air date and a game by Sega. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, what the hell? Why didn't we get that game?
We still could, I guess. Sort of, maybe.
It's not true.
Why not?
Chances are it'd be terrible over here.
You think so?
Well, it's a card game, like a scanning card game. Those never really do well over here.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, screw that. Who cares?
I don't care if it tanks. I just tell them to sell it. We have a long-standing relationship, me and Hasbro. I give them money, they give me stuff. When they won't give me stuff, it ticks me off.
What system is this for?
No news yet on what system it's for, but card scanning a bit, and it's a... Well, no, that doesn't even make sense for portable, since the DSi took away the cartridge slot, so... Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like a Tamagotchi type game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like self-enclosed or like its own game.
Yeah, those are sell enough, and it works for something like this. I mean,
you know, I really miss those Tiger LCD games.
Those are awesome.
They were awesome.
They still make those to some degree.
Yeah.
Now they give them away free in Happy Meals.
Well.
Yeah. Moore's Law. So
maybe I should save it for new Soundwave, but there was an awesome form of those old games they used to make that Nintendo used to make. Did you ever see that?
They're like,
yeah, but they were like the big ones that were like in color.
Ooh,
you ever seen those?
What?
I'll save that. That's a teaser for
we'll
talk about that.
Regale us on new Soundwave.
The Arker.com had the comic pack in for Masterpiece Convoy, and it's in English. That was cool. The comic
like
was
Babelfish, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it saves me from having to scan it and OCR it to figure out what it was saying. So. Way to go, Rob.
Thanks.
That was like a solid.
Let's Google that. I wonder what that means.
Oh yes, Rob just gave us a summary of one of the pages.
Oddly enough, I wasn't even near my microphone. I actually tried to back away, so it wouldn't be loud. Next time, I'll hit mute.
See, actually, that's not the problem. You were far enough for the microphone. We can actually just hear that from where we are.
That's oh, God.
Coming soon from RFC Productions, Robin Amanda's Burp Off.
Yeah, we can do that.
Hey, it's the Cookie Monster.
I call that Fed Elder.
Yeah,
Chinchilla, the Wookie Monster.
let's see. Yeah, new alternate Starscream and Skywarp. Who cares? Disney label Buzz Lightyear. yeah, device label Cheetor. Who cares? And device label Blaster. I would buy that if it wasn't like $80.
Yeah.
Device label Cheetor looks pretty good, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty different enough.
If you thought the flash drives were overpriced as they were, at least they're not a $80 USB hub.
Yeah.
I feel a little better about the flash drives because they had that software on them that made like Ravage hop around your screen.
Oh, I need to turn that on. Thank you for reminding me. That's been turned off for a week.
Well, we can tell how great that must be from that. All the device label stuff, doesn't it seem like the whole marketing scheme is this? Like, you take a $20 toy, you add a $10 piece of hardware, and you charge $75 for it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, see, the thing that occurs to me is that, at least with Blaster, it's kind of hard to mess up a USB hub. Whereas, you know, going back to music label Soundwave, you get a piece of crap MP3 player for your $70-$80.
Yeah, there is a possible way to mess up a hub. It needs to be powered or it's about useless. And it's not.
Well, then I expect this is going to be about useless.
Yes.
Mm. Might be a nice Blaster figure, though, for $80.
That's where my new fan production line comes in handy. I have all these USB flash drives I'm producing. I just went to the Dollar Tree and bought, like, a bunch of spy changers and stuff, and I'm just duct taping flash drives to them. And they're going to be awesome.
You can still get knockoff spy changers.
No, actually, I was talking about real spy changers. They're like all over to Family Dollars and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. It drives me nuts about this Blaster. I'm looking at it again. The whole point of these hubs and stuff, right, is you have like this little thing on your desk that is a representation of something of which you are a fan. Like, I've seen little, you know, there's an Optimus Prime head USB thing, you know, for the same reason, a Transformers thing. I've seen a Doctor Who one. You have a little TARDIS on your desk because you're a Doctor Who fan. And when you're doing your little USB stuff, the little light flashes and you feel all spiffy. This thing is a little laptop. So I'm going to sit here with my laptop and plug it in to a littler laptop that just looks like a laptop and stick my USB things into it. I mean, if you walk by somebody's desk and they had a laptop with a little laptop hooked up to it with all their stuff coming out of it, what would you think of that?
Man, I mean, that guy is...
They made a little sound wave that looked like Sunbow accurate little thing, and it was like hooked into your computer. It would look like Soundwave was infiltrating your files. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome.
That would be better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man, that guy is important. He's got two computers hooked up together.
You say it's an Apple tablet.
Yes.
Okay, Transformers 3 to suck more than Transformers 1 and 2.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
So it's going to focus less on the robots and explosions and more on the character.
Well, so how's that different than 1 and 2?
Hang on.
What character?
Robot character. And that makes that means something different than just...
What I read said it was going to focus less on the robots, and
I got the impression that meant like numerically, which I think is a good thing from Revenge of the Fallen, because it was just like, wow, there are so many robots on the screen that I can't tell any of them are doing.
Well, they're all nondescript robots. I mean, they were like big gray things that who knew what they
That's
were.
True.
For the third movie, they need to have them all be in like super bright colors and with their names printed on their chests.
What they need is like they need elaborate transformation sequences. They transform and lights flash, and then their name pops down under the bottom of the screen. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
No.
That's totally not what I took it for at all. I just figured Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox wouldn't be on it that much.
That would be great too.
Yeah.
Wrong robots.
Yes. Well, hopefully she'll be bounced, like the rumors say, quickly and soon.
I like
like 5 minutes into the movie, she's taken care of.
I liked Shia LaBeouf before this movie.
Yeah,
I like even Stevens. That was a fun show. Yeah. Then you go to Sting, and he becomes like this huge little douchebag. And they're like, you just ruined Indiana Jones, you little f-bod.
No. He didn't ruin Indiana Jones. It was ruined before he was involved.
True.
Yeah. Well, we all know who ruined Indiana Jones. And he's fat and he's got a white beard and his name ain't Santa Claus.
Wow.
Also in the news, it looks like the Liege Maximo is making a comeback.
Really?
Good job.
Isn't that what the hub is about?
No.
Oh. I was like, what's he talking about? I saw the hub. I'm like, oh, he just did.
Yeah. He went there. Yeah, that was very good, though. Very good.
Yeah, so all the people here, I'm the one who has to make the G2 jokes.
Wow.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's going to be it'd be an IDW Liege Maximo, so I'd be like, just some pissed off secretary.
So yeah, the hub is the partnership between Discovery Channel and Hasbro. They're going to offer dynamic and engaging programming where they just sell you crap.
I hope so.
That's very corporate hype.
<Bland name.
laughs> Yes, we're going to do stuff.
This channel is a game changer. For one, we're going to have programs on.
It'll be actual shows.
Welcome to American Chopper for Kids. Ta-da-da.
Oh, God.
The last news we got about this was about who was going to be running it. And it was like, oh, well, she's got all this tremendous experience in television and like Entertainment Tonight. I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll prepare you for the transfer.
Well, the past 3 years, definitely.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
So, like scatter shots sitting there with a little window of Megan Fox talking about her sex life.
But it's going to feature Transformers, G.I. Joe, and My Little Pony. Now, is this this is all new material? Or are they going to show, like, now that Hasbro has access to all the G1 stuff, are they going to play the G1 cartoon or Beast Wars or anything?
They have to fill the time.
Is this a whole channel or is this a blog on the network?
No, this is
they're replacing
channel.
The existing Discovery Kids network with the hub.
So this isn't a block like Toonami or something like that.
It's apparently going to be a channel that will replace one of Discovery's existing channels.
Yeah, they're going to have to pull something out of their hat. I mean, there's a ton of Transformers stuff. There's some G.I. Joe stuff. And there's like itty-bitty little
They could just show Resolute 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh, I would want to kill myself. Not a fan. Ender, what did you watch G.I. Joe Resolute?
I have a copy of it wrapped up. I haven't watched yet.
Yeah.
Every time we were just making those Shia LaBeouf jokes. I still haven't seen that movie.
Oh, really?
As a dork, I kept hearing all these bad things coming back, and I finally asked another hardcore dork friend of mine. I'm like, would I be better off? Like, you know, thinking of this in terms of like I've seen the Star Wars prequels, and Star Wars used to be cooler than it was before them. So I asked the question. Would I be better off living in a world where there are only 3 Indiana Jones movies and all of them are awesome?
Honestly, Indiana Jones could have survived with only Raiders of the Lost Ark, to be totally honest. And there's one more bit of news. It's a small one.
Tiny.
We got a shot of potential, possible, more likely than not, a power core combiner. Chopper? What was the name of the? It came with a with a mini-con. Honest to goodness mini-con.
Yes. It said mini-con, and it has a better explanation of what they are, which I think was the most interesting about that. I didn't see this concrete an explanation of what the power core combining thing was.
Now we know that's what at that level what a power core combiner is. It could extend beyond mini-cons. We don't know. But we know mini-cons have been explicitly defined in this, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's like a quadruple changer.
Basically.
Version, isn't it? I mean, it said it's a weapon vehicle. It's a robot. It said robot weapon, which I assume just means like a gun or an axe or whatever. And it's armor.
Armor, yes.
So Breastmaster.
Yeah. It's going to be a little robot just clinging to his chest.
God, I wish they had the gall to say that, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that armor? Or are you just happy to see me? I'm protected, baby.
I don't know. It's a lot, though. And it's I don't know that it looks great. So I don't know. I mean,
I want it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, I want it, but I, you know, I mean, I guess, yeah. Okay. I'll have to have it in my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they could just, so if Hasbro just go ahead and send me that, then I'll let them know what I think.
I'll still need, I need to see a few more before I have an opinion.
Yeah.
Speaking of seeing a few more, that has nothing to do with what I wanted to say. This just in, pictures of Battle Ops Bumblebee. Thanks, Rob, for finding that.
Very nice.
He is the Supreme Class Bumblebee that's coming out. And he looks like a really big bumblebee.
And he's got giant missile racks on his hood.
Yeah, just like the movie.
Yeah. Well, they've got to make him exciting for the leader toy.
Yeah.
Is that a chain under his arm? Key ring?
Oh, it's also the full thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be buying that.
Too bad it's not like a big hook, like a big ornate Captain Hook hook.
Just a random hook.
Yeah, just a pirate
hook. You know, what this Supreme Bumblebee really needs to come with as an accessory is the ripped out spine of Ravage.
Oh, that's
God. Not a bad idea.
Because, you know, the deluxe Ravage would probably be just about in scale with Supreme Bumblebee.
Maybe. You know, when they announced this figure and they said it was going to have, like, the hand that converts to the gun, I imagined a lot of things, and none of them were that. And I mean that in the worst way possible, because that's really crap.
So,
Yeah, his legs are pretty crap, too, now that I look
at
it. You know what this really needs? What it really, really needs? In BotCon 2007, they gave us that Biatch air freshener. Mine is long since gone. I need a new Biatch air freshener.
Wasn't there a crazy copyright kerfuffle over that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happened? What?
Yeah. Because I think somebody had like copyrighted that, and then they got into a big... I think there was a copyright issue with that. So I think those have gone away.
I need more.
Yeah. My girlfriend gave me a keychain of it that has like nothing of Transformers at all on the paperwork attached. But it's the Biatch thing. Yeah.
And Rob also just found, hey, we don't do any prep for this show. He also just found Mudbuster, Bulkhead, and Thundercracker. Now, that's interesting.
Ah, yes, Thundercracker.
Yeah, almost Cyclonus-y Thundercracker.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I always wondered what that Mudbuster Bulkhead was, and now we know.
A couple of blocks.
Yeah, we've seen like test shots of at least Bulkhead before.
It's good that we're still getting animated toys. My Walmart just finally put up a display of more animated stuff. So if I wanted another Electrostatic Soundwave, I have an opportunity to get like 40 of them right now.
Oh, good.
They did not have Armor Up Optimus Prime, though. I need to get Armor Up Optimus Prime.
Is he out? Yeah, I've seen him a few times.
I just haven't when I wanted to buy it.
Right. I guess Animated's being the filler between Revenge of the Fallen stuff until Power Core Combiners.
Mm.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I'm not complaining.
Okay. I almost forgot. You know, if you want to get Mudbuster Bulkhead, you should go to our friends at Big Bad Toy Store.
Yes.
Big Bad Toy Store is pretty awesome.
Yeah. If you want a mini-con that turns into an axe that you can hit somebody else over the head with, pre-order them at Big Bad Toy Store.
Exactly. Follow Big Bad Toy Store on Twitter. They are at Big Bad Toy Store. And, of course, visit them online. Or, even better, go to tfradio.net and click on our link. We would appreciate it if you did that. And just shop to your heart's content. We love Big Bad Toy Store. We've never had a problem. And we encourage you to shop with them today. We'd like to thank our friends at Big Bad Toy Store. JD, what's going on this week in Transformers history?
January 18th, 2006, saw issue one of IDW's first publishing for Infiltration. That's their G1 line, of course. So, yes. And so it began. The Asian series of comics. Infiltration, Simulation, Cybertration. Consecration.
Yeah, oh, God.
Constipation.
Yeah.
Constipation.
That's how I felt when I read it.
Regurgitation.
So is that it for this day in history? I thought we had something else.
No, we're going with that.
We don't have more than one thing this week?
No. Stuff happened, but it's not anything.
Yeah. This week sucks.
Yeah, the sprite guy was born today.
In current history, one of the Japanese voice actors died, but I don't know if we really want to talk about that.
Yes. I'm tired of talking about people dying.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
It's so like, last year.
Yeah.
There are no deaths this year.
Right. We're not doing that this year.
Yeah, no more dying.
Yeah, I'm tired of killing people. I mean...
Yeah.
Sorry, Billy Mays.
Yeah, bad taste, wow. Rob.
Rob, too soon.
Edit.
You know, too
soon. Yeah, that's it. We got to edit that out, Rob.
Edit. Yeah, edit. Let's make an awesome auger joke.
Okay. We'll be back here in a couple minutes. We'll be talking with Chris Reed, a.k.a. Fort Max. Enjoy.
The Decepticons are attacking! Destroy them! No, wait! It's Quick Switch! Six shots in! And he's on our side!
Determined to make good where his Decepticon father went bad, Quick Switch joins the Autobots.
Quick Switch is faster and tougher!
He's a tank, a plane, a cruiser, a gun, a puma, and a robot!
Quick and you don't have six!
Quick Switch, the new ultimate challenge!
This week, we are speaking with Chris Reed, also known as Fort Max. Fort Max, how's it going?
Going good.
Thank you for speaking with us. We much appreciate it. Tell us about yourself.
23 right now. Born in 86. Didn't grow up with Transformers that much. I grew up watching Power Rangers, and pretty much the earliest exposure I had to Transformers was... the Generation 2 Optimus Prime toy, which my younger brother and I used as a stand-in for the Megazord. So, first started watching Transformers when Beast Wars was airing on the local WB affiliate. And now I kept on watching through Beast Machines, Robots in Disguise, and, well, haven't really stopped except with Energon.
I did that, too.
Yeah. Of course, with me, it was more that... It's not on at a time that I'm going to want to be up anyway.
I would have rather slept, so I just...
Yeah. Cybertron, I caught most of that when it was airing on WB for a while.
I cheated. I just VCR'd the whole crap.
Yeah. Of course, Cybertron was airing when I was... I'm first year at college, so yeah, I didn't exactly have cable then, so...
In your experience, what's been your favorite? I mean, since you've gone back and watched G1 and everything.
Yeah, and I have. Yeah, I've watched G1. I've watched what I could find of G2 simply to see what the Cybernet Space Cube thing was all about that time. For Beast Wars and Animated are my favorites.
Now the real question is, did you ever come across Tommy Kennedy and the Power Master Puppet?
No. I've never been able to find this is the Touch music video.
I will hook you up later on.
Yeah. I have been nagging people in I know that there's someone on who was in Ouija at times who has some of those episodes on tape and
I did
bugging him to upload them to YouTube or something.
I've got them on DVD, so I'll hook you up. No worries.
Yeah.
You are you're an admin at the TF Wiki, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
I thought you were an admin, but
no.
But
that would be the other. That would be two of the other Chris's.
There are too many Chris's in this fandom.
Yeah.
But your website is hosted at the TF Wiki.
Yeah, it's hosted at the Wiki simply and. Mostly because it's mostly Transformers related, and it's pretty much mostly image files of stuff that, we wouldn't host in the main wiki proper because it's mostly instruction scans.
Well, tell us about your site. It's more than just instruction scans.
The site is mostly instruction scans. It started out, and actually most of the scans come from the old tfracetrack.com site that... course went offline in 2004 or so, that I would pluck most of the scans off the site simply for my own use and then decided, hey, I might as well put these things online at some free hosting thing. And initially put it up on my account through UT Dallas. And it worked pretty well. However, it was a little more than bigger, but simply that, yeah, that found kind of a annoying way around it, which was that, yeah, it won't let you, that once you pass the limit, it won't let you upload any additional stuff. But as long as this one upload thing, you can upload as much as you want in one upload, as long as you started, as long as you were not already above the limit when you started that upload. But the instructions are the main part that I have. I'm the main content of the site, and actually most of the code's from there as well. But I also have very few other Transformers-related sites mirrored, such as Pat Lee's infamous Infrared Angel Fire page.
We're going to have to link to that. A lot of people just simply don't know what that is. And
yes, it is the entire. It is the source of the Miki Okonateke Funana name.
Good pronunciation.
Yes. That's just, I think that's how it is. I don't even have the name in front of me. Also, of course, we're the much copied Dreamwave poster with them smoking cigarettes while walking away from a nuclear explosion, as well as pretty much every picture that the wiki has of Pat Lee is from that site.
There's really nothing else that you really need to know about Pat Lee other than what's hosted there. So,
well, aside from him completely not bothering to pay people, that's the only thing that's missing from that site, really.
That's true. That's true.
That and content.
Yeah, and also I have a mirror of Raksha's old artifacts list, and she did help with the few images that I couldn't pluck off the Wayback Machine. So,
and you said that she actually on her current site just lists links to you.
She's current her new site, and it's in process of getting some of the stuff up, and she has currently she's linking to my mirror of it. So,
groovy.
So you said you started out as a Power Rangers fan.
Yeah.
How long? I mean, you've been a Power Ranger. You're a lifelong Power Ranger.
Yeah,
fan,
I kind of got out of it with during Wild Force, but partially because it was, especially after Time Force, it was kind of boring. And actually, looking back at stuff, it pretty much was more Gal Ranger, but with using American actors for the most part. So, but it also didn't really get back into it until RPM started up. But all the Fox Kids era stuff, yeah, watched just about everything from that.
Now, your screen name is Fort Max, but would you consider yourself primarily a Power Rangers fan at this point, or are you primarily...
No, mostly Transformers. It didn't really pay much attention to Power Rangers after Wild Force. So, especially didn't... The fact that I didn't have Toon Disney at the time didn't help either.
So that aired on Toon Disney?
Yeah, it aired on Toon Disney for a while, and also the ABC affiliate here... sticks Power Rangers at 5 and 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, that sucks.
The week after.
Oh. Well,
but until recently, they actually are airing it the week of, but still at 5 and 5:30 in the morning.
Well, that's a pretty good time, because what's your competition? Snuggie ads or infomercials for a food dehydrator?
Yeah, but of course also, how much of the primary audience is going to be awake?
I used to get up that early to watch G2.
Yeah.
I got up
to watch Voltron at that early in the morning.
I got up earlier than that to watch the Tommy Kennedy season 5 stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
luckily, Tommy Kennedy came on Sundays around here, so good times.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah,
what are we gonna do today, Optimus? Let me tell you a story, little cracker boy.
I mean, 7 degrees of separation. Yeah, that pretty much is true, because guys, I'm partway through season two of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, of course, when Austin St. John and I'm Walter Jones and can't remember the name of the actress who portrayed Trini, after they left or fired, not sure exactly what it was, and they were replaced on the show, that time when my dad was up coming through and I'm going through the credits and I'm through the opening credits and he recognized Johnny Young Bosch, because it turns out that Johnny Young Bosch's dad worked with my dad at one of the TI plants. They both worked at Texas Instruments, and
yeah, my cousin worked for Texas Instruments.
Yeah,
he invented the integrated circuit.
Mm. And Dad doesn't work with Texas Instruments now. He kind of sort of, in the sense that the division he was in got sold to Raytheon. So he's still with Raytheon, but still, that is kind of true. So yeah, the 7 degrees of separation, it's true.
Yeah, totally. That's neat. Yeah, I've never actually been to Texas except for BotCon.
That's the one BotCon that I've been to, simply because I wouldn't have been able to go if it weren't a 15-20 minute drive away.
But man, that was the best BotCon ever. I love that.
Free breakfast.
Oh yeah. Oh, I completely forgot about the free breakfast. That was great.
Free breakfast and snack time, man.
Yeah, I was only there Saturday and Sunday, and I wasn't staying at the hotel, because why bother?
Awesome.
20
Good
minutes
bacon.
Away.
Yeah, yeah. Free booze, too.
Yeah.
I wasn't old enough for that.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I understand. If I live close, why bother? I got fruit roll-ups at home.
Yeah, like BotCon, what was it, BotCon 01 was in... was Durham. In Durham, yeah, so I drove there with Chris. And
of course,
everything.
Also, I have a feeling half of the reason it was in DFW that year is because, well, kind of on the short notice, and it's
Savage,
semi-close to fun publications.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
That was almost certainly the reason, I believe.
Yeah, they had
of course,
than
also, the G.I. Joe Con was there a couple years, was at the same hotel a couple years ago, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I love that hotel. That was a great hotel.
Only problem with that hotel is my room cards kept resetting like every couple hours. So like I'd leave the lobby party of all those dorks and go up to my room and
toward the end all those hurricane refugees were,
that was
were
kind of awesome though.
Yeah,
of course I remember posts of people worrying about if BotCon would be affected by the hurricane, as in getting hit by it.
I remember that, yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Was that
okay, it's kind of a bit far in coast for it to be, for by the time the stuff hits, it would be any worse than a normal thunderstorm. So, like, why?
I don't know. Hurricane Hugo came in from South Carolina all the way through North Carolina. I'm in the upper western part of North Carolina, and it was a Cat 1 when it hit here. So, stranger things have happened.
You have stronger thunderstorms a lot of times, and it's just that the only reason they could call this a hurricane is because it was a hurricane when it started out. So
Fort Max, you are on the new podcast that we have, Superhero Time. That's about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and Sentai.
About Power Rangers, on various Toku, well, mostly Toku series and adaptations of them, and related series that
I don't know what that
exactly
is.
Toku.
What is Toku?
Well, Tokutatsu Grind, it's kind of mostly live-action action shows, it's kind of the thing that your Godzilla films fall under these as well. Typically will involve people in rubber suits. The podcast is focused on Super Sentai, Masked Rider, Power Rangers, and a few other and various other similar shows. And actually, I've cunning plan worked, and I brought up Ninja Turtles and the Next Mutation on the most recent episode of it, and we're apparently going to be covering it next week.
Yeah, I saw that on the mailing list, and I thought that was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I haven't had a chance to listen to the new show yet, but I'm going to tonight.
I know that the show is kind of strange, and of course has parts of it disowned, but live-action Scott McNeil. What can you not love? What can you hate about that?
That is true. That is true.
And it brought us a Scott McNeil action figure.
Did it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, the character he played got a toy.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't even know that. I mean, I was in my senior year at the time, so the fact that I paid attention to Transformers was amazing. But aside from that, right over my head.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was a lonely, pathetic high school kid, so I remember watching some of the episodes. So I really wasn't into it, but I watched it.
I was in fifth or sixth grade at the time.
Well, yeah, I'd catch it before I had my crappy McDonald's job. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, well, this is terrible. By the way, Beast Wars is awesome.
Yeah.
I gave VR Troopers a chance. I watched a little bit of that. And Kamen Rider, Mask Rider, whatever it was.
So Bond's Mask Rider, that just didn't work. It just didn't have the stuff that just clicked, like that just made stuff work like Power Rangers did. Power Rangers pretty bad, but it was the Prince of Space type of bad.
Bond's
Fast Rider was the Hobgoblins type of bad.
What was the Sentai-ish Power Ranger knockoff show that came on USA? I vaguely remember it. It wasn't really Sentai. It was more like kids in spandex posing, holding marbles or a laser shot out of them.
I don't know. Didn't have cable at the time. I know that there was. I know that there was Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Yeah, that had Joey.
That was,
Marks,
of
right?
course, adapted from Gridman, which was an Ultraman spinoff, and that actually lasted longer than Gridman.
Yeah, it came on in the mornings.
It was syndicated, so it depended on
where you were.
It came on in the afternoon here.
Yeah, I'd catch it while I was getting ready for going to school in the morning and be like, oh, hey, it's Joey Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Then, of course, there was Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills.
That's it, dude. That's what I was talking about.
Ah. Which, like Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, was a Deke production, but but they made everything themselves on that one.
And it showed. It was like watching singles volleyball tournaments. Mm. And someone was dressed up as a monster. I just remember turning across and like, and you guys got to remember, this is high school at the time, so I was like, am I tripping?
Of course, what I really wish had lasted longer was Mystic Knights of Tir-na-Nog. That was actually good, and I'm completely Saban-produced.
So that was like an original production?
Yeah, they did everything with that.
I remember that was...
Yeah, and it was original, not adapted from anything. The only thing that wasn't is that sometimes they would use the various background stand-in monsters that were used with Beetleborgs and Power Rangers. They would use as background and stand-in monsters on Mystic Knight sometimes.
Huh.
But that was pretty much the only thing that wasn't original. But they still made every piece of that series themselves.
Yeah, I remember when that show came out, I was in college, and one day a bunch of my buddies and I went to the local mall because I wanted to get some Beast Wars toys between classes. You know, these are my way I worked. And we stopped at McDonald's, and they had a Mystic Knights Happy Meal at the time.
Yeah.
And we bought a whole bunch of the toys and, like, took over to McDonald's room, waiting room, having a war by throwing chicken nuggets at each other with our Mystic Knights dudes.
Yeah.
It was, like, all the same figures, so we broke out Sharpies and colored them all. I think mine was named Hardcore and Twognanar or something. They were just like throwing chicken. That's like Super Sauce Attack. Ah!
But yeah, that series was good, and it had great production values. It just I don't remember exactly what years it was from, but I think part of the reason it ended was, of course, Saban getting sold, And I believe the main reason that it started is because the Metal Heroes series ended, so there wasn't anything to do another season of Beetleborgs with.
That was the one with Jay Leno, right?
That was the one with the ghost of Jay Leno, with the ghost of a Jay Leno that was intended to look like Elvis, be more like Elvis, but had a giant chin.
And Conan O'Brien would charge up and then charge him with a sword, right? I'm being timely.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no, but he'd probably be too tall for the sets.
Well, someone told me Big Bad Beetleborgs and VR Troopers was made from the same show. Is that
right? They were both from Metal adaptations of Metal Heroes.
Wow.
With VR Troopers was pieced together from no fewer than two Metal Heroes series at a time.
Oh, okay.
On three different ones, and on the old one of them was, I think, the third Metal Heroes series, which was from like 85 or 86 or something.
Which one was Dynaman made from? Because that was like the best ever.
Dynaman?
Yeah, that's. It was when I was a kid before Power Rangers came out. USA had a show called
Dynaman.
Friday Night Fights. Yeah, and they would have Dynaman, which is a piece of character from some. It was basically some Sentai show re-edited with a very comedic score.
It was a comedic dub of the Sentai
awesome
Dynaman.
Dub. Oh, so it was a real show. They just made it better.
Yeah, it was a Sentai show that they did a humorous dub of.
So the real show wasn't that good?
That
was awesome.
I don't know. It they just redubbed it.
Oh, okay.
I think I've never seen it, but it was pretty much a. It was pretty much a dub that of course, being a Sentai series, it probably wasn't as much of a humorous show. It was pretty much they just redubbed the Dynaman Sentai series.
Wow!
So,
because that was awesome. It had like the one show, this dolphin monster, and he started crying, "Oh, my daddy never loved me," and then like. Cheap Trick music started playing, and they were like just jumping around fighting.
That sounds awesome, dude.
It was like.
Of course, favorite monster from Toku series would perhaps have to be from Kamen Rider series, Starfish Hitler.
Oh, wow.
Awesome name. Is it anything like Captain Shark?
Not really. It's basically Hitler as a starfish monster.
Beautiful.
complete with SS mooks.
That's even better, yeah.
I'm just getting this image in my head of Hitler from Bionic Commando as a starfish exploding. What's your favorite beer, Fort Max?
Yeah, actually, I don't actually drink that much simply because being around the stuff irritates my sinuses like crazy. It irritates my stuff enough when I'm not trying to drink it.
I am one proponent of not irritating my stuff either, so I know where you're fooling, man.
Yeah, I don't like my stuff irritated. Okay, well, Fort Max, we appreciate you speaking with us this week, and we hope everyone listens to you on Superhero Time.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the interview with Fort Max. So, the topic for this week is, last week we did, what is the best toy line of the decade? And unanimously, Ender wasn't here, but unanimously we landed on Armada. And I was amazed that it was unanimous, but it's just the way it worked out. This week we want to go the other direction, and we want to decide what was the worst toy line of the last decade. This is going to be a little more controversial, I think. So guys.
No, that's really straightforward. Kiss Players. All right, we're done. Cool.
Is that even a line, though?
I would consider Kiss Players part. I would consider it like an extension of Alternators, which is a viable pick.
We could be talking about it in a few minutes.
in terms of if the line itself were a organic being with many different branches, Kiss Players is the that normally isn't there in a toy line, but for some reason Vinyl Tech has one, and I think it's best left unmentioned. Actually, it's funny because I was just thinking about Kiss Players the other day. It's like this thing that makes me ashamed to be a Transformers fan. Like, why is that there? How did that happen?
M. Cipher and I were hanging out in Raleigh one day going to toy stores, and he told me about Kiss Players, and I thought he was lying. I swore it down to just make me up. But
yeah, now you just wish you was.
Yeah. That's when I was sort of out of things, but Kiss Player is real, and it sucks.
You ever explain to someone who doesn't know, and they just kind of look at you for like a minute, like, oh,
no, because I would never explain that to somebody.
I would never bring that up.
If I was standing at like a con with somebody who didn't know, and they were like, "Hey, what's Kiss Players?" I'd be like, "I don't know."
Yeah,
this is what happens. I'll be talking, someone will make that joke, like Optimus Hentai or something, and I'll be like.
Well,
yeah.
See, on that note, hentai, what's that?
Well, is that a rabbit over there?
A show with guys in spandex around and they fight like a giant monster.
So we have one vote for Kiss Players. XV, we were talking about this earlier. What's your vote?
The first movie line.
Yeah, I can see that. That's as good an answer as any, honestly.
Alternately, if you want to be really inflammatory, I'll say Masterpiece.
That makes sense, too.
Diecast sucks, and Masterpiece Prime is the worst toy ever.
He is not the worst
toy ever. I think I covered all the bases.
He is not the worst toy ever. He's not the best toy ever, but his robot mode is near perfect.
But it's got all that horrible diecast in it.
Yeah, that's true. But the vehicle.
No. If you're going to go after diecast, then you have to go after titanium before you go after Masterpiece.
Yeah.
That's not a bad candidate.
I didn't even think of titaniums. Ooh.
Titaniums
right there.
Soundwave's diaper.
Thing is, you get a bump titanium.
You could land an F-15 on.
You get a bump titanium, and all you're out of is $15. You get a bump Masterpiece, and you just really feel bad for being late on the cable bill this month. Like,
yes. I like the couple of Vinyl Techs that I have. The Impreza. I already forgot my brain fart.
The Vinyl Techs are definitely a disappointment when I finally got some. He's like, hey, stay still. Quit falling over. Quit doing the splits. Damn it.
Smoke screen. When I got smoke screen, he came out of the package chipped.
Oh, I think that happens a lot.
That sucks.
Mine didn't come chipped, but like the plastic was definitely not up to par to hold up diecast.
But part of me wants to say the alternators is the worst line, but I didn't think of titaniums. But the other part of me wants to say that it's robots in disguise. But more than anything else, I love spy changers. More than mini cons, I love spy changers. But the original toys built for robots in disguise suck. But the American version of robots in disguise is pretty great because we got all this extra crap brought in from other lines to fill it out. And so it's really cool. But original Takara stuff, crap.
I think the interesting thing about robots in disguise is I think some of the bigger figures like the Prime from that I really liked. I thought it was really innovative. It kept a lot of the classic elements, but it was really different. I mean, it much more so than I think any recent one in a lot of ways. But what's really sucked about that line was the shell former thing that was going on, where they were translating the kind of toys they had been doing in Beast Wars into vehicles.
Oh, it was a disaster.
Yeah. And that was what collapsed in that line. But on the other hand, you have to give them a little credit there. That was the modern state of what they were doing, and they didn't know it sucked until they did it.
Yeah, they were trying to convert Beast Wars Neo, which is to cars, and that's totally true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it's going to be titanium because titanium. There's nothing about titanium that works for me. Like nothing about the designs, the transformation. I guess. I mean,
Scourge's design is not bad.
It's okay, and I guess it's fairly acceptable to if you like it, you probably like it for one reason, because it's like a War Within line. It's like a thinly veiled excuse to do that.
It's a collector's line. It's solid, nothing but.
Yeah,
and that's kind of cool about it in itself.
Maybe I should have thought of Titanium's first.
Well, let me make a distinction though. While we're still debating the topic, though, I'd say that Titanium's probably the most technically flawed line, easily.
That's fair.
But that doesn't mean it's the worst line.
The engineering going into it is a lot weaker than, say, Binal Tech. While I may not love Binal Tech and alternators, the engineering that goes into it, I mean, it was pretty intensive, the designs and everything. I can only imagine, like, all the AutoCAD and everything that they had to do. But, you know, the engineering in Titanium's kind of crap.
Yeah, well, the integration of those parts. I mean, Optimus Primal wasn't joking when he said diecast was a lost art. It's a lost art. Those people didn't know how to do it. They did not know how to do it. They were like, hey, let's have diecast parts. And they, like, literally got there and went, oh, crap, they weigh something. Oh, God. What is this crap? And then, like, I'm sure there must have been, like, one guy who's, like, you know, the executive VP of something who was, like, the only person left from the 80s who was there when they were designing those, was like, yeah, jack holes. That's why we stopped using it.
Now, Titanium's was a line that carried over from other brands, though, wasn't it? I mean, there were Titanium's, or am I thinking of Unleashed?
No, there was a Titanium's for the Marvel products.
Yeah, Titanium's.
But those are statues.
Yeah, those were statues. Nothing else moved. Nothing else had parts. It was probably. It makes me wonder if the Transformers people were even making those, or if it was like the Titanium division, and they were just like, "Oh God, what is this?"
Well, it's all pretty much glue, wasn't it?
Where are all these joints? Why, you know?
Now, the only transforming Titanium that I actually picked up was Scourge. The other Titaniums that I picked up were the non-transforming miniatures that were actually not that bad.
Yeah, they're okay.
I got Rodimus Prime.
Mm. I actually picked up a whole bunch of these. I only opened a few of them. I opened a couple of the Primes because I display them because I collect Optimus Primes. And I picked up a few that I've kept in package, so I've mercifully been spared the horror of trying to touch or transform them. I'm not certain, besides maybe War Within Prime, if I've ever transformed any of them. Maybe Soundwave. Soundwave, I think I transformed.
Scourge is a piece of cake. It's just that he's not necessarily a bad toy. He's probably the best representation possible of Scourge. He would have just been a much better toy if he was made of plastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like, here's our gimmick. We added some suck.
Yeah. You fit in really well, Ender. We like you.
Welcome. Welcome.
I'd say my worst line, I'm going to say, is movie one and movie two, because they're the same damn line.
You know, no, I was considering that earlier, but to me, the movie styling in the Revenge of the Fallen line seems a lot less in your face than in the first movie line.
Oh, but if it's the same stuff? Literally the same.
Okay,
stuff.
You mean mold reuses.
Mold okay, reuses. I mean, like that's they just. Point. I mean, they just cascade over. There's tons of them, and half the stuff that isn't is the crap from Cybertron that we didn't want to buy.
Okay, but see, there's one thing you have to consider too with the Revenge of the Fallen line.
Bludgeon.
Okay, two things. Bludgeon's a class. I was thinking that it gave us a transforming toaster.
Yeah, and Bludgeon.
I was all for the toaster, except the face was so stupid. Bludgeon is like the designers really wanted to make a classics bludgeon, and they slipped it into the Revenge line. The designers
they did. That's what happened.
Yeah. Those designers, and so they did. Eric Sabinaller in particular, I get the impression that that guy certainly, and I think they, what's the new guy who took over from Archer? I can't remember his name. In that part of the division. They really get it much more than I think past people have, and are slipping things through. Like, I think the only reason we're getting all this cool animated stuff throughout this year, please, I hope, is because these are really competent people who understand the Transformers. They're not in charge, but they are, you know, moving these things forward. The reason we're going to get an Ironhide, is I understand it, is because that Eric Sabinaller guy, when he sent the stuff to get made in Japan, he sent an extra head. He wasn't supposed to. He was supposed to just make a ratchet, but he sent them an extra head. And that head came back, and Hasbro said, okay, now we get an Ironhide, too.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's
going back to Ejector, the transforming toaster really does need to look like a little fire-breathing gremlin. So you're wrong.
Hang on. So my understanding, that's the result of a that character. I could be mistaken about this. I'd have to look this up. To my understanding, that character came from a fan contest thing where someone was supposed to design a goofy transformer, and they worked him into the movie, and he came out as a toy, and that's why his face is so goofy.
I don't remember that contest.
Yeah, he came from.
I think it might have been something UK.
He was in a Mountain Dew commercial, wasn't he? And then they kind of recommended a movie line.
Maybe that's where it routed back from.
No, yeah, the first movie line had
Injector. He has an origin in real life that's separate from the normal.
It was Robot Heroes, wasn't it? But
Dispenser, yeah.
Dispenser.
Dispenser was a whole other thing.
Bunch of awesome.
Yeah, they really need to make that Mountain Dew machine transformer.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I'd say.
They could call him Throwback instead.
I'll argue against myself here and say the one thing that really exonerates the Revenge of the Fallen line is that the leader class Prime is a masterpiece for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
Except without the sucky diecast.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It is a fantastic, fantastic toy. It looks great. I reviewed it. The only reason I gave it a 9 out of 10 is because I was reviewing it as a whole product, and it had one deep intrinsic flaw, which was the box set 5 and up. And if you can find me a 5-year-old who can, like, do the quantum physics that are required to transform that Prime's feet, the feet have 15 joints. It's insane. It's absolutely amazing. It's fun. I got to tell the designer that to his face at BotCon. It's a tragedy. I didn't realize who he was at the time because I felt kind of bad afterwards. But I was telling sort of the same litany there, and it was like, "Hey, I made that." I was like, "Oh,
well, sorry. You goofed on the box, like, buddy."
He got that whole line. I mean, the any line these days, the ages on it is ridiculous. It's nothing to do with the complexity of the toy. It's all, or you know, the likelihood that you may choke and die on a part of it. It's just price point mostly.
Rob, what's your pick?
Well, you know, I'm going to not say Titaniums because I actually enjoyed a couple of the toys from it. And, you know, it's really hard for me not to like something. I mean, I even liked Animorphs, for God's sakes.
Too bad that was last decade. Of this
show.
Yeah. Well, I bought them all this decade when they were on clearance. So I was like, hey, these aren't that bad. I'm going to have to say Built to Rule. That
Ooh,
real...
Built to Rule. Yes.
Built to Suck. That's what we used to call that. I have one of those.
I have one that's like in 10,000 pieces somewhere.
I mean, you're talking about missing the boat. You know, you were supposed to be able to transform this thing. No, you threw it against the wall and put it back together. It's like, hey, you know, all these people want to complain about Hot Shot not looking right on classics. Here's an idea. Look at that Hot Shot. The thing is, I was excited for this line. I was like,
me too.
This is great. And then I even like would like give them custom robot modes that would look more like them. And then the box would just fall apart. Like they didn't even stick together.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, how about the fact that like the Primes, I read the Prime, his knees were not symmetrical in robot mode.
They had
strange parts that you were supposed to slap in here and there. I have a Prime cabinet I keep full of my Optimus Primes. I literally sat there, took out like 10, 15 parts, and remade my own version of him out of his parts that was better than what was in the instructions.
I have all of them except for the Energon ones just because they weren't available easily. I only opened up Hotshot and Jetfire. I open up everything.
The Energon ones were better. They were getting better. But to my understanding, to work at LEGO, you have to have an engineering degree. And apparently, that is not true of the equivalent division of Hasbro.
Our friend Daniel, he has a degree in biology. He works there.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. not going to help you in engineering.
No, no.
Basket weaving.
No, no, he
works designing kits. Is he?
No, he's not designing kits. I think he did like the Star Wars cartoon. He wrote that.
Right. You don't need an engineering degree to be a writer
or a fan.
What?
Hell yeah.
True. True. Okay.
You can be a very overqualified writer.
Yeah.
There's also the degree of the plastic quality of those. People, I think people don't realize a lot of the time is that, you know, whatever Lego's secret formula is for its plastic is a very exacting thing.
Well, there's also another thing, too, which is that Lego replaces their dies for each piece pretty frequently to make sure the tolerances stay right.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think they made that many Built-A-Roll toys where it really mattered. It's not.
The second line was just in a test market, and they were getting better. I mean, the Energon Prime is significantly better than the Armada Prime. The Armada Prime is a joke.
You know, I originally coming up with this idea for the segment, I was thinking we would hit up the big lines, you know, for this matter.
Well,
you know,
just say, aren't these kind of, little vestigial parts that are just sort of offshoots of...
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to get like really bad, we can just say like the movie line, the Happy Meal movie line. I mean, that was pretty god-awful.
Right. Right.
But exactly. No, Built-A-Roll. I mean, that I would say that's fair. I didn't even consider Built-A-Roll and in Titaniums when we came up with this. But you know, this is pretty good. I was worried that we were all going to say alternators and be done with it. So, hey, John,
I like alternators.
Alternators is okay. Grimlock's great. You know, Dead End is beautiful, but otherwise, you haven't chimed in, John. What's your pick?
Oh, for worst?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Titaniums. It's still Titaniums. It's just because it just doesn't work for me. You know, I don't know. I mean, I can see actually, you know, I guess maybe a more deserving would be one of the movie lines if you don't like the design, especially the first one, because, you know, I think the first movie line had all the hallmarks of something that was kind of rushed and pushed because of time constraints a little too fast. And so, you know, things didn't work out. So I'll give the second movie line credit for, yes, they recycled a lot of molds, but on some they didn't. And, you know, some they went back around and kind of tweaked and improved where they could, where they didn't really have to. So, I mean, they get points for that.
I'm amazed that no one said Energon.
Because Energon was a great toy. It's just that cartoon was a...
Yeah.
Well, Energon was a disappointment, I think, after Armada. And I don't think the toys were quite as strong as
Well,
as
I'll tell you... The Energon gimmick got older a lot faster than Armada. Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do Minicons get old? I mean, they're old now.
Yeah, it's an extra Transformer.
Yeah, I mean, now, I mean, when you buy a Minicon set, you know, it's Toys R Us.
Mini spies never get old.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so we concluded that the best line was Armada, but you know, we're sort of split on the worst line. We're split between Titaniums and the first movie line. That's interesting. That's really interesting.
So I'd say the thing about the movie line is that unlike every other line before or since, really, the designs came first. Well, maybe this might not be true, but Beast Machines seemed like this too, where you got these designs that really were never meant to be toys. And somehow somebody had to make those into toys. And they did a lot better with some of them in the second movie line. And in the first, which tragically so much got recycled from, they really were just fumbling to try and make something out of that in too short a time span. But normally the toys get designed first, and then a writer sits down and makes up stuff for them.
And that worked great with Beast Wars, since they could build the model by the
right.
by the toy.
I mean, that was that was the model of how it should be in a lot of ways. That worked out great.
And I assume they did the same thing with Energon and in Cybertron. But you know,
well, actually, did it seem to me to anybody else like Animated got a treatment where the guy who was designing. What's his name?
Derek J. Wyatt.
Derek Wyatt was designing the toys with the toy designers and the animation people at the same time.
Well, what I love about Animated is the fact that they were able to capture the design of the character in the toy. It seems like it almost seems like they would design the character first and the toy, but I don't know. I don't know, in fact, how they did it. But
yeah. Well, I wasn't there for last week's, but I'd say that animated may actually have been my top line of the decade.
Yeah, I was surprised that more people didn't pick it. The toys themselves are good, but I think it's just the fact that there's some real clunkers. Like Bumblebee is a clunker.
Mm. Well, animated also didn't really do anything to, you know, revolutionize what Transformers were.
But isn't that also why it's so fantastic? Because we haven't gotten anything that captured what they're supposed to be in about 10 years. I mean, that's probably the best. That could be the best Megatron ever.
Yeah, no,
it's not a gun or a tank or anything. I thought that Megatron proved that all Megatron needs to be is silver with a big black arm cannon and a helmet.
I know people love that Megatron, but he doesn't do that much for me.
It's boring.
You have the toy?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about there.
Stop talking. Show over.
I enjoy displaying it, but you know, as far as like transforming it and appreciating it in vehicle mode, doesn't do anything for me. It's better than the Cybertronian one, though. The Cybertronian one sucks.
I felt like it wasn't about vehicle mode. I thought they hit upon what the movie people really missed. They couldn't decide between a gun and a tank and all this other stuff, so it ended up with Megatron transforming into nothing.
Into nothing. Basically, yes.
He transforms from a robot into nothing that flies. Like, oh, great.
The movie Megatron design is utterly suck.
Well, while we're on the worst line, I'd say the movie Megatron, especially the first one, but also the second one. I think those are my worst toys.
Oh.
Those are the first two Megatrons in, you know, 25 years or whatever that I haven't bought. I have every other Megatron in some variation.
Energon Megatron is not that great, but
no. Okay, yeah,
no, it's very big,
Cybertron Megatron sucks too, but I still managed to just. I bought a Galvatron. I actually didn't buy the proper Megatron. The Galvatron looked like Megatron in that line for some reason.
Yeah, he did. He totally did. I didn't prepare for the worst toy.
Discussion for another show.
There are so many to choose from. Oh my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of clunkers out there. The Megatron strikes me because it's something that I normally buy out of, you know, just like reflex. And I just could never bring myself to do it with either of those. I could never bring myself to drop the money on it. I thought they just looked awful. And they didn't transform into anything.
Anything. Okay.
If the second one had been movie accurate in some degree, I probably would have picked it up. But it was like, instead of being movie accurate, the leader class was like, it was like the top half of a Dalek on wheels. It looked nothing like it did in the movie to me. Is that accurate to say?
Fairly.
And the other one, the smaller one, I almost picked up, but it was green. I'm not sure why he was green. Anyone explain that to me?
Well, I'm sure I left a penny outside for a week.
Right. The fallen left Megatron outside for a week, and he turned into that. Yeah.
Well, I was sitting at the bottom of the ocean for all that time, you know.
That is true. You know. Hey, okay. Homework for next week. Be thinking on your the best and the worst toy. Not just line toy. We'll talk about it.
Boy.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's going to take a long time for me to figure out.
Yeah.
I have a couple of candidates real quick up, but deciding between them is tough.
Okay. Let's go ahead and real quick cover Twitter Theater, and we'll wrap the show up. Twitter Theater this week, I didn't
watch it. It was Energon, and it sucked.
I sat down and watched GoBots last week, but I refused to sit down and watch Energon. I'm sorry.
It was basically UFC hosted by Anime Cat Girls.
Wow.
Anime cat girl robots.
Although it does have some funny points when, like, they'll be standing there and occasionally Shockbus just shoots them. It's like there's 2 seconds worth of pretty funny in 22 minutes.
Somehow I feel I am a better person for not having seen this.
Yeah,
you are.
So.
Well, yeah. In Japan, wasn't that particular episode meant to be a special to represent 20 years of Transformers or something also, if I'm recalling correctly?
Wow, really?
Oh.
Wow.
Are you serious?
I'm recalling from when I was helping out with Transfandom. Boy, that takes me back.
Wait, is this you're talking about an Energon episode where they have them all like in an arena like it's a video game or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. All right. Yeah. My better person status is hereby revoked.
Yeah. The highlight of the episode is the first few seconds of the episode when Megatron tells someone to turn the lights on. They're sitting there in the dark and he goes, "Before you watch this, I suggest you turn the lights on.
And now, for your entertainment, Fox will play with your toys for you." Isn't that pretty much what this was?
Yes, in Japan, this episode was a special made to commemorate the 500th Transformers episode.
There we go.
Ah, okay.
Now, did they subtract out like all the clip shows?
Commemorate or denigrate? Read that back, just make sure.
That is just so crazy. I don't get that.
I did dig the tiny Unicron joke at the end, though, where they're like, "Oh, crap, Unicron." He's like a little midget. In fact, yeah, this episode is crap. I mean, it's got 5 seconds of funny interest. It's terrible.
And we had like 3 years of crap, too. That's what sucks.
Yeah. Did any toy line or toy lines get the shaft harder than Armada, Energon, and Cybertron based totally on their cartoon?
And not in America, no.
I
bought and enjoyed those toy lines a lot more, I think, than most people did because I didn't watch any of those shows at the time.
I watched Armada.
I've seen them with my kids. I watched one episode of Armada and never went back. Same thing with R.I.D. I watched like – I think somebody sent me three of them on a VHS like in, like before they came out. Like I was like the
– It wasn't Prowess, was it?
No.
I hope he doesn't know Prowess.
No. I wasn't that involved in anything then. I was just buying crap. But I just, you know, I decided I had something better to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah, Robots in Disguise hit in a really rough time for me personally. My father just passed away and my mom was sick. I still managed to catch it. I didn't much care for it except for the fish test. The fish test is what did it for me. I watched it, I got it, and I enjoyed it after that. And so I respect Robots in Disguise, the dub, because they did a great job with it. And of course, also Wankus.
Because it's never come out on DVD. I still haven't seen that one. I've seen most of the other stuff because it's been out on DVD.
It came out like Region 5 or something.
Yeah. My Poor kids are watching Cybertron right now.
Wow.
My Fox affiliate that was showing at the time turned into a Spanish channel halfway through the series.
Did the dub change?
Oh, it wasn't even the same show. and it came
on Mucha Lucha or something.
No. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday mornings. That was pretty early for me at the time. So I'd like, you know, get up. You guys know how I live. Oh, geez. I watch my cartoon. I turn it on. And all of a sudden, this Mexican soap opera was on.
Oh.
And I like, called better. Mom. I called
it probably
Comcast.
Was.
I called Comcast and was like, "Guys, something's wrong with my TV." Yeah. But I got it on DVD and I was just like, wow, I didn't miss anything. Because, wow. It's like Rid, Armada, Energon, and Cybertron. About half of each series I liked. So if I can only get 2 seasons out of 4 seasons of show I like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Little did he know it wasn't the Mexican soap opera, but actually was the rest of it.
When I got those
Nothing's
DVDs
wrong with in, your television.
When I got those DVDs in and I watched the last episodes, I was like, okay. And then the whole Fortress Maximus thing went down and I was just like, okay, hang on. We're using the power of children to fight what? It's been years. I still don't know what the hell. I mean, I understood Energon better than I did that ending us. We they're good wishes and that did the truth. What? Why do we even have the Autobots? A circle and think the best and these guys won't come back.
You know, Robots in Disguise would have been better if it had been dubbed by the people that did the Headmaster's dub. It really would have.
Look, Fortress Maximus has come himself.
I shall get Fortress Maximus to fight me.
Robots in Disguise would have been better if somebody set it on fire and buried it in peat moss.
Optimus Prime, I am Ultra Magnus, Ninja Warrior from Cybertron.
Like, who are you? I'm the Ninja Consultant from Cybertron.
It's my favorite thing in all those dubs. That's right.
They call me Skybite. like to read a book. I'm reading a book right now.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap the show up. Do we have anything we need to mention? Plugs, whatever?
I have plugs? Cybertron.
Hey, XV, you have a new podcast.
Yep.
Still does. All right,
cool.
Okay, we're starting a new podcast here in a couple weeks. I don't have a name for it yet, but we've been planning it for months and months.
Mostly that I've just been harassing you to do it so I don't have to listen to your comic book crap and new sound waves.
Yeah, so we're doing a comic book podcast. Ender is joining us for that. It's going to be Ender, JD, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely. So we'll be doing a comic book podcast, I guess, on a weekly basis. What are we doing that on Sunday?
Are you asking them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking we're going
one
to
one of those days of the week thingies, you know.
JD, was that good for you? I forgot.
Sure, why not?
You're gonna be LARPing that day.
Yeah, we do LARP on Sundays, you know.
And JD's new podcast, Throwing Styrofoam Lightnings.
Throwing Styrofoam Lightnings.
Oh. I cast Magic Mythal.
That would be the best podcast ever. You have like a
Styrofoam Lightning is a good title for something.
God. Well, today I've got Wormimus Maximus, who plays a night elf at our LARP over at the park. Come here, talk to me.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
I prefer to use the Nerf axe myself, but that guy keeps using those dollar store axes, and he's not a true fan.
Okay.
I'm trying to come up with a comic book show name now, and all I can think of is Age of a Crapalypse.
That is really good.
I approve.
That may be it. I was thinking, I really liked Styrofoam Lightning, but the Age of a Crapalypse really works. We'll know by next week. Okay, if you're listening to this at tformers.com or through iTunes or wherever else, check us out, tfradio.net. On our website, we have loads and loads of blogs, an archive going back to 1999, lots of awesome crap. You need to check it out because we need more hits. And follow us on Twitter at tfradio. You can follow me on Twitter at bkilby. Friend us on Facebook. Just go to tfradio.net, click on the Facebook button, and join. It's pretty cool. There's all sorts of exclusive updates and news and cool stuff. Who here's on Twitter? Plug away.
The JD Church.
JD. I've heard of Twitter.
Twitter's good. I like Twitter.
Twitter is good. You got to try it.
It's not as good as Facebook, but it's handier than Facebook is the problem.
I'm on Facebook. Leave me alone there. At
leave me alone at F off.
If you write so much as one comment, I'll hunt you down and gut you like a fish.
We'll go ahead and I'm just blown away by what John posted into chat. I'm not even going to talk about it. So help come up with a better name for Hustler's Avatar Porn.
I'm not even clicking that one.
Don't. Please don't.
No.
Guys, just don't look.
It came with a pretty good picture, though.
It's a
funny
smurf.
And the names are funny that they've posted so far.
Avatar, Pandora's Box.
I'm just not that interested.
Avatar, I blew myself. Avatars. Avatard.
Avatard, I like that. That's what Mad Magazine's going to call Avatar, isn't it?
They're going to call us. Will someone publish us this week?
Okay, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
That's right. We'll be back.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show, online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what? Robots in the sky.